In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a
time to talk movies. Alan Adams of The Main Edge, Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. Welcome home.
Thank you. Thank you.
A whirlwind trip to California and back.
It was, yeah. Because of the nature of the filming of the show, they do two episodes. Five episodes a day in 2 days in a work week, and it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and so my filming was on Wednesday. So I like the end of the day Wednesday. We're all done until further notice. So we planned on flying in on Tuesday. We landed Tuesday afternoon. Wednesday was we were at the studio, and then Wednesday night we hopped the red eye. We got on a plane at like, I don't know, I think we took off at right around 1 in the morning, flew through the night to Chicago, then flew to Bangor, and we landed a little bit before noon. I had just enough time to go home, sleep for a couple hours, and then hit the stage at the Bangor Opera House for Penobscot Theater's Scenes and Songs on Thursday night. Yes, it was indeed a whirlwind of a trip.
Now, I know you can't tell us a whole lot, but a couple things that we've discussed and you've had on social media as well. Trebek, solid traditional handshake.
Yep. Super nice guy. I mean, but the reality is you spend very little time interacting with Mr. Trebek. We didn't meet him like at any point. It was just one of those things where we showed up for the filming started, and then it's like, and he just sort of appears from behind the board and it's just like, oh my God, it's Alex Trebek. Like that's the guy. And then they do the whole thing where you do your little anecdotes, and then they have a stretch where they do photos. So they do a photo of you, with him, and then a photo of you solo behind your little podium, for use for promotional purposes when it gets a little bit closer to the air date. When you finish up a game, you get handshakes and he'll chat with you a little bit, and it's nice. He seems like a very nice man. One of the things that I can talk about, and I think is was kind of a surprise for me. I haven't obviously been on a lot of like television sets or whatever, seeing people do that sort of thing. I was stunned by how genuinely affectionate towards each other the people who worked on this show were. Like, these are people who have been doing this job for, you'd hear people talking, I've been here 17 years, I've been here 25 years, 30 years, and they all just, they genuinely enjoy one another's company and they're having a good time. And when they're having a good time like that, I think it really does a wonderful thing as far as, sort of alleviating a little bit of the pressure that I know a lot of us were putting on ourselves getting ready to go and do the thing. So it was really great. Like, everyone was super nice and seemed genuinely invested in rooting you on and all that sort of thing, which is remarkable considering how many thousands of people have gone through those doors over the, I think it's the 35th season of Jeopardy.
Wow.
So it was a really, really great experience. I felt like I did a good job, and that is all I can say.
There you go. and at least one episode we know will air on October 29th.
The week of October 29th is when that particular week of episodes begins. I will be making an appearance in there somewhere. I've been more specific in other places, but I'm just gonna watch
all week.
Yeah, just tune in on Monday and you'll start there, and maybe you'll see me on Monday, but at the very least you will see people that I had practiced against, rehearsed against, like the whole thing. It was a really wonderful collection of very, very smart, very accomplished people, and I was honored to be part of that group.
Very cool. All right, movies. Did you get to see any of this
business
weekend?
I got to see a couple, if you can believe that.
Wow.
We'll get one out of the way real quick. I went to see a movie called Axel, AXL, like it's an acronym for a robot dog.
All right.
Yeah, I saw a robot dog movie, Rich.
Lucky you.
Yes, Axel, which is a really terrible acronym that stands for attack, exploration, logistics. And it's like, that's not, yeah, exploration doesn't start with an X, but you know, it's the least of this movie's problems, we'll put it that way. Robot dog being developed by some shady super science outfit for the U.S. government. Because, you know, like, you know, it's a war, modern warfare. You need a modern robot war dog.
Tough apparently. Times call for robot dogs.
Robot dogs. But, of course, the robot dog escapes because their experiments with artificial intelligence have advanced beyond any level that they could have anticipated. And so the dog escapes out into the desert. Meanwhile, we have a young man named Miles who's an aspiring motocross racer. And he's racing motocross bikes on a team led by his dad, played by Thomas Jane, who's here for some reason. Apparently, he owes somebody some money. I don't really know what the deal is there. So he struggles against some of the richer teams, the richest team being Team Fontaine, who's lead rider Sam, and team leader Mr. Fontaine. He never gets a first name. But he's played by notable TV and movie D-bag Ted McGinley.
Wow.
Yeah, so nice to see Ted McGinley getting some work. Anyway, circumstances lead to Miles being sort of getting lost out in the desert, where he encounters Axel. And, of course, the two, make nice in a convoluted manner that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But we're already talking about robot dogs, so really, what are you going to do? And then it turns out that the government, wants him back, wants the dog back, and it's up to Miles and his newfound love interest, who just happens to live in the pool house of the rich dirt bike family. It's all so stupid, so just breathtakingly stupid. And so we get to watch some dirt bike riding and some robot dog jumping around, and that's really about the long and the short of it.
All right, that's one.
Yeah, we can be done with that.
Yeah, all right. What else did you see?
I went to see the Happy Time Murders.
Oh, wheelhouse for Alan.
Yeah.
Foul-mouthed puppets.
Yep. Dirty talking puppets, saying, dropping F-bombs and doing all kinds of sex stuff.
Oh,
and
God.
Just being gross. a lot of low-hanging fruit being plucked in this particular movie. I will say the critical response to the movie has not been great, but I can say that at least in terms of this critic, it was awesome. it's from Henson Alternative, so it's the same Jim Henson crew. Brian Henson directed, so it's got legit puppet bona fides. basically the conceit is we have a world in which humans and puppets exist side by side. Puppets are a discriminated against sort of underclass, an idea that could have been explored more fully, but instead is just used for a couple of pretty terrible throwaway jokes. But anyway, you've got Phil Phillips, who is a puppet private detective with a small office in Hollywood. His secretary is a human by the name of Bubbles. Played by Maya Rudolph, who's very good here. He's contracted to investigate a blackmail case, but the investigation leads him, kind of drops him into the middle of something much darker. It appears that someone is targeting the members of the Happy Time Gang. Now, the Happy Time Gang, it was a mid-90s sitcom that was the first television show to truly cross over between puppet and human populations. And so people from both sides of that particular divide enjoyed the Happy Time Gang. You've got, Coach Gus, and you've got Bumbly Pants, and who's a rabbit. You've got Kara and Ezra, who were a couple, even though they were first cousins. You've got the sort of Gonzo knockoff Goofer and Officer Shenanigans, played by Larry Shenanigans, who just happens to be our Detective Phil Phillips' brother.
Ah.
So there's a connection there. But it appears someone's targeting members of the Happy Time Gang. And so it's not long before Phil Phillips is drawn in to the LAPD's investigation and repartnered with his former colleague, Officer Connie Edwards, played by Melissa McCarthy. See, the two were partners because Phil, wouldn't you know it, was the first ever puppet police officer.
Mm.
Only to have his career end in disgrace with a civilian-related tragedy that led to his former trusted partner turning on him and testifying against him, leaving him to eke out a living as a private investigator. Would you know, it's far more complicated, and we get into the real seedy underbelly of this sort of puppet landscape as we meet these how these Happy Time Gang members have fallen. You've got a gun runner, you've got a porn addict, you've got a derelict sugar head, because puppets get high on sugar.
Yeah,
because of course they do.
Yeah.
And then of course there's the one primary human member of the Happy Time Gang, Jenny, played by Elizabeth Banks,
who's great always.
Yep, who's wonderful. Also the former girlfriend of the aforementioned Phil Phillips, and she has fallen on hard times and is now working as a stripper at a puppet strip bar.
Oh god! Because
the puppets, you know, have a lot of fond memories of Jenny from her time on the Happy Time Gang, and so she is cashing in on that nostalgia by taking her clothes off in front of like bunny puppets.
Oh, there,
as one will do.
Yeah.
Look, it's gross. Like, it gets gross in a number of places, in some pretty extreme ways. The language is awful. And hilariously so. Again, lots of weird sexual innuendo. Some of it subtle, but most of it overt. Like, there's not really a ton of subtlety going on here, as you might imagine.
No, it's puppets.
Yes. And then you've got this weird sort of buddy cop dynamic sort of jammed into the middle of it, with Melissa McCarthy really doing a heck of a job establishing some sort of actual, like, relationship with, again, a puppet. The dynamic there is really nice. Like, the puppet performances are phenomenal. Like, they've really done a great job of sort of realizing that world, that kind of, like, giving you a real sense of, you know, puppets existing alongside people in a way that really feels genuine. Is not the right word, but it's easy to buy into. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's really easy for you to just accept the sort of realities of that kind of situation. And everyone on the puppeteering side is just phenomenal. Like, these are incredibly talented people. Like, you know, like the Henson crew does, you know, wouldn't give you any less.
Right.
And so it's really nice to kind of have that connection to, you know, to sort of the OG Muppet crew. And the reality is, you know, it's easy to forget because, you know, they've sort of been sanitized in recent years. The Muppets used to be weird, like crude and weird.
The whole enterprise started with some pretty borderline blue stuff.
Yeah, you know, and there's like this one of that sort of sense of gleeful anarchy that you get with a lot of the earlier Muppet stuff. It doesn't quite scale ascend to those heights because, frankly, they. A lot of times they're content to just go with the easy joke, you know, and like I said, low hanging fruit. But that's okay. Like, sometimes I like easy jokes and low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
And again, like, you're giving me cursing puppets doing gross sex stuff. I'm going to be on board. Like, that's, I mean, I just think that stuff is hilarious. It's not for everybody, mind you. The human performances, like, Melissa McCarthy's great. Maya Rudolph is great. Elizabeth Banks is great. Let's see. Stanley from The Office is in this. Joel McHale shows up as an FBI agent at one point. Like, it's a great cast. So, and they're all clearly having a good time because, again, I can't imagine being a Hollywood actor and not being delighted at the opportunity to perform alongside puppets. I mean, maybe that's just me because I've got a weird thing for it. But I love the idea of these actors going in and really leaning into it. Like there's no like wink wink nod nod kind of stuff happening. Like they're really committed to making it work, which is great. So ultimately, the Happy Time Murders, not for everyone. I cannot stress that enough. This movie is not for everyone.
Yeah, don't take the kids.
I would definitely do not take the kids. I would go so far as to say it's not for most people, really. however, if you have a certain sort of sense of humor, if you're twisted in a certain specific kind of way, you are going to laugh and laugh hard at this movie. You might not feel great about yourself while you're doing it, but you will laugh.
And you'll want to hang out with Alan later
yes.
on. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure.
Welcome back. Get some rest.
Will do.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge here talking movies on Downtown.